there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. And a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And then together on verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And also together on verse 17, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this day of coming to this church. We're thankful for the kind of church and for the kind of leadership that keeps the schedule regardless of the holidays. We're thankful for the faithfulness of good people. Thank you for this great crowd. Bless, we pray, and help us and teach us and help us to have willing and open minds and hearts to receive that which you've given to our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning in sort of a New Year's kind of a sermon. Tonight I'll bring a Christmas-type message. I want to speak this morning on the subject of full life in 2001. A full life in 2001. There are two different areas of life. One I call the circumstantial, or the circumstances of life. It is God who determines those. He has a will for my life. And two, the events of my life. I'm the one who plans the events of my life. God has planned it, but I make my decision of my schedule for the day and the activities of my life. And so I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, a full life in 2001. I'm going to read for you a few of the verses we read. By the way, this was written by the wise King Solomon. He's an aged man. He's a man that has had everything that a person could want. He knows what brings happiness because he's tried it all. He's tried riches. He's tried pleasure. He's tried women. He's tried fame. He's tried power. He's tried it all. He comes to the end of his life and says, now, let me tell you what I found out. And we'd be very wise to accept the advice of a man who's had it all. And he says, and I'll not read all of these, but a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up or harvest that which is planted. He goes on to say a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, and that means to jump up and down with joy, shout if you please, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. That's when you're in Hiles Anderson College. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. And then he goes on down in verse 11 and says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. What God is saying here is that we all live by schedule. And that we need all of these things, and each should have its own schedule time, and in its own time, God has made everything beautiful. A sermon on a hell and at a funeral is not in its time. a sermon on hell in a revival meeting is in its time, and it's beautiful. Everything, all these things God has said, ought to have a part and be a part in and of our lives. And then, let me read for you again. In verse 17 it says, "For there is a time there for every purpose and every work." A time, a set time, a scheduled time, a planned time. Please listen carefully. I'm not going to preach a bombastic message. I'm going to preach a message I think is one of the great secrets to the life of this preacher and can be to you. Father, bless me as I speak and our people as they hear. And may it be beneficial to us, not only today, but for the 12 months of 2001. Bless me this morning. And may it be a blessing to the people as they live the next year and plan for that life. Amen. Somebody asked me, what is good music? There is good music and there is bad music. What is good music? I think that bad music is a music of repetition of beat or rhythm. Basically, that's what's wrong with rock music, a constant repetition of the same type beat and the same type rhythm. On the other side, there is music that is the same type on a mournful kind. On one side in our churches, you have the formal music and the state music. On the other side, you have the contemporary type worship music. But good music is that music which has a variety. Sometimes you listen to the great music of the ages, and you'll notice that it's soft for a while, and then it gets loud for a while. It'll speed up for a while, and then get slow for a while. That is a good sign or a sign of good music. Somebody asked me, what is good art? Good art is like good music. It is not repetitious. It is not all the same color. Look at the creation that God has made and the differences in the colors and the multicolored world that God has made. Good art is the same way. If a painting is all of a blue shades or all of red shades, it may be pretty, but it's not a variety of colors, and I think that good art has such a variety. A good meal. Ah, we're down to where we live now. A good meal. What is a good meal? A good meal is one that has a variety. It has a nice salad with blue cheese dressing on the top, and then it has a steak about an inch and a half thick and about 16 ounces, and it's beside the steak. You don't have all steak. You go to a place and the steak is 24 ounces. After a while, we used to go a great deal to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse over in Chicago. And they have the best ribeye steak in the world. That is, the first third of it is delicious. But the thing is so big, after a while, you just chew and hope I can get through this thing. My wife and I went over to a steakhouse in the area and ordered one of those, each of us ordered one of those big onions. What do you call them? Onions, and I'll tell you what, the first pound and a half of that was delicious. But before it was over, we were sick of it, and the truth is, we've never gone back to the steakhouse again, and have no plans of doing so. Why? The same old thing, just onion after onion after onion. It was great at the first. A good meal, as I said, has a nice salad with blue cheese dressing with some of the cheese and hunks on the top, and a steak that's medium well, or however you like it, and a mashed potato with the side. A little diversion, if you please, or baked potato with cheese sprinkled on top of it, and with butter oozing out of the side. But you need something sweet. So you have pecan pie with ice cream on the top. Now that's a good meal. In our house, it's interesting. We say this so often. When we snack, we eat something sweet. But then we want a salted taste in our mouth. So we go over and we eat something salty. But then we want a sweet taste in our mouth. That's preaching, brother, whether you like it or not. That's real preaching. Now, especially in this season. I'm on a diet. I'm trying to gain less this Christmas than I gained last Christmas. And But a good meal is a variety. In fact, we quit eating in a place because it's a good place. We ate there for a long time, but we quit going there because the food seemed like it was all alike. What is good music? It's variety of beat and tone and speed. What is good art? A variety of colors and shades. What is a good meal? A variety of food, if you please. What is a good personality? A well-rounded personality. Not someone who's always morose or overly serious. Not someone that's always cutting up and always giddy. But a well-rounded personality. Someone that knows how to talk about some philosophies. And someone that knows how to enjoy some humor. And someone that knows something about current events. Like, I wonder who the president of the United States is right now. I mean, that's what a good personality is. No one likes to be with someone who is always serious or someone who is always joking or always too light-hearted. A good personality is a well-rounded personality. That's why God made a day like he did. You have the morning, you have the afternoon, you have the evening, you have the nighttime. It's a variety. Mrs. Howes and I were on a cruise 2 years ago. Went up to the Arctic Circle, and we actually went as far as the Arctic ice would allow us to go. And the northernmost town in the entire world, Spitsbergen, is that it? Spitsbergen, Norway, way up on an island, the northernmost town in the entire world. But ladies and gentlemen, we didn't see the darkness for 3 days. It was all light. You got up, went outside, took pictures at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now that's good to visit, but I wouldn't want that day after day after day. Nor would I want to, they said, up there in the wintertime, it's always dark also. Now a good life is a well-rounded life. A good year has, in some areas of the world, it has spring and summer and fall and winter. Here we have summer and winter and winter and winter. And, but that's why God made it that way. He's a God of variety. A good church, for example, not just a soul-winning church, but a church that's well-rounded. Not just a Bible-teaching church, but a church that does teach the Bible. And a church that does go soul-winning. Not just a church that's interested in fighting sin only, but fight sin. Everything in its own time. There's a time for a vacation Bible school when the preacher plays a fool up here in front of all the children. There's a time for youth conference when the preacher tries to be a teenager, though he's in his mid-70s, tries to be a teenager. There's a time for the Lord's Supper when the church quietens itself and remembers what it's all about, the death of our Savior on the cross. There's a time for soul winning. There's a time for hard preaching and comforting preaching. That's what a good church is, and that's what good preaching. Paul said this to Peter, or to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, preach the word, but that isn't all. He said also, exhort. That isn't all. Also, rebuke. But that isn't all. He said, do it with long suffering. That means comfort. But that isn't all. He said, teach doctrine. So a church that's all doctrine is not a well-balanced church. A church that is all preaching hard is not a well-balanced church. A church that is all rebuking is not a well-balanced church. But there must be encouragement. There must be rebuking. Rebuking is necessary. There's a time for me to rebuke. There's a time for me to encourage. There's a time for me to comfort. And life is that way. The great secret to life is the variety. That's what God is saying here. Somebody asked me, who is the greatest preacher in the world, in your opinion? I could not answer that because humility prevents me from answering that. But I don't know who the greatest preacher in the world is. I know two things about him. The first place, whoever he is, he doesn't know it. And the second place, you'd have to go for 1 year and hear every preacher in America preach for 1 year. Preach on Sunday morning, preach on Sunday night, teach on Wednesday night, weddings and funerals and youth conferences and so forth. You'd have to hear him for 1 year and then decide after the entire spectrum of the year whether or not he was a great preacher. What is a good life? And here's the sermon. Good music, variety. Good art, variety. Good personality, variety. A good church?
Variety.
A day?
Variety.
A year?
Variety.
Good preaching?
Variety.
But a good life. A good life in 2001 is a balanced life. A well-rounded life. Not a one-dimensional life, but with each of these things we mentioned a while ago. There, each of these things, there ought to be a time in your life to weep. There ought to be a time in your life to laugh. There ought to be a time in your life to mourn. There ought to be a time in your life to rejoice. There ought to be a time in your life to get. There ought to be a time in your life to lose. And God is simply saying that in every life, there ought to be these times. And by the way, you set these times, if you please. Life cannot be and should not be all laughter. We also need tears. Life cannot be and should not be all reaping. There must be and should be planting. Life cannot be and should not be all successes. There must be and needs be failures. Life cannot be and should not be all winning. There must be and should be losing. Life cannot be and should not be all speaking. There must be and there should be silence. Life cannot be and should not be all love. There's some things that we're supposed to hate. I hate communism. I hate abortion. I hate the liquor traffic. I hate the dope traffic. I hate the rock music culture. Not the people, but life must not be all love. There should be also hate. Life should not be and cannot be all peace. There is a time, the Bible says, to fight or time for battle. Their life cannot be and should not be all smooth. There must be a time for life to erupt. Now, I'm told, hear me carefully, I'm told that much of this should be planned. I should take, and you should, in 2001, take these things here, and look at them and plan that your life, just like the composer plans a musical, just like the artist plans a painting, just like the preacher plans his sermon repertoire, just like God has planned a day, and just like God has planned a year. Take each. Somebody said, hold it, preacher. It says there are time to kill. Are you supposed to kill? Oh, yes. You say, when? Oh, Thanksgiving's a good time to kill. Get the big old bird, wring his neck. I can see my mama now in the backyard with a chicken, him wringing its neck, holding its head like that, eyeballs going around in her hand, and mama had the head of this chicken and wring it. And then it would flop without its head on the ground and so forth. But God isn't saying there's a time to murder, but he's saying there is a time for everything. Now, these things should be on purpose. I'm giving you, ladies and gentlemen, the great secret to my joy at 74 years of age, why I'm happy. My life is not wrapped up in a one-dimensional doctrine, a one-dimensional kind of preaching. I refuse to become stereotyped. I'm simply saying, in case you want to have a great life in 2001, you take what God has told you, plan this, and plan this, and plan the other. I must schedule time to plant. I must schedule time to reap. I must schedule time to laugh. I must schedule time to weep. I must schedule time to love. I must schedule time to hate. I must schedule time to rejoice. I must schedule time to mourn. And if you have a great 2001 or a great life, you're going to have to plan more than being a one-dimension, one-type person, but have all the enjoyments of life and all the necessities as God has listed here. I want my life, get this now, I want my life to be planned action, not unplanned reaction. I want to avoid circumstances telling me when to be happy. I want to avoid circumstances telling me when to be sad. I want to avoid allowing circumstances to determine whether I'm peaceful. I'll decide when I'm happy. I'll decide when I'm angry. I'll decide when I mourn.
I'll decide when I eat, and a planned life, just like my wife is planning the Christmas meal tomorrow, and just like she's planning that meal last night, she's in there working, planning Christmas meal, I ought to plan my life that way, and I refuse to allow circumstances and external stimuli to just tell me when to get happy. God says, set a time to get happy. Oh, you said, now hold it, preacher. How do you do that? I mentioned last Sunday night something about that. Illustration. When I go to the cemetery, I plan to weep. And by the way, it wouldn't hurt you to go quite often to the cemetery and grieve the loss of someone dear to you. This whole television, Nintendo generation of amusement parks and life and fun and all of it. There needs to be a certain cross-section of emotion, and God said, there's a time to weep. So, when I go to the cemetery, I plan to weep. My mother used to live over here in Calumet City on 167th Street, I think. I drive by there. I plan to drive by there. Now, when I plan to drive by there, I plan to mourn. I plan to remember that last night that I was there. Mother was dying. I grabbed her, picked her up, and took her out and put her in the car and rushed her over to Broadway Methodist Hospital, and where she was for a number of days. And she was dying, I thought. And I stopped the car there on Wentworth Street and 167th Street. And I planned to do it. I planned to mourn. I'm not going to go through life just watching Andy Griffin and just watching the television and just going to the amusement park. I want, when I die, to have lived a rich and full life. And God said, you set a time for all of these activities and emotions. When I go to a ball game, I plan to get excited. That's why I go. When I listen to a Cub game, I plan to cry. I choose to do that. When I listen to a Chicago Bears game, I plan to cry. When I listen to a Chicago Bulls game, I plan to cry. When I preach against sin, I plan to get mad. I'll even put it in my outline, get mad here. All aloud, weak argument, but I'll put it in the outline. Get mad, stomp your foot. Now, when I plan, so I plan my emotions. Just like Mrs. Howes puts a spoonful of this and a cupful of this and a pinch of this in her recipe, I take these ingredients that God has told me that I should have in my life, and hey, do you know he's smarter than I am? And he's almost as smart as you are. Now, if you'll let do what God said, here's a recipe to a full life. Set a time for each of these things in your life. When I sit on the love seat in Miss Hiles, I plan to tingle. You say at 74? Yeah. You've heard me say this, brother. Just because there's snow on the roof don't mean the fire's out in the furnace, I guarantee you for sure. Now, you listen to me. You listen to me. I plan that. I decide when I laugh because I know what makes me laugh. I decide when I cry because I know what makes me cry. When I choose to hear a sermon, I plan to be inspired. I plan stimuli that make me happy. I plan stimuli that make me weep. I plan stimuli that make me serious. I plan stimuli that make me tender. I plan stimuli that made me bold. Listen, if God's given me the recipe for a happy and a full life, I want to put the right ingredients that God says put there. And God said, have a time for every single one of these things. You say, preacher, I'm not going to plan to cry. Well, you're not smarter than God, and you might better use God's recipe instead of yours. Now I must say this. Don't miss this now. There are some things over which I have no control. Because of those circumstances, there are some things over which I have no control. I cannot plan. Sometimes circumstances come into my life where I weep and I did not plan to weep. Sometimes circumstances come into my life when I shout, I don't plan to shout. Now these are in God's hands. Listen to me now. These are in God's hands. These are planned by God. Hear me carefully. If I love Him, God will see to it that these things are balanced properly in my life. Hear me carefully. The circumstances of my life, God will plan them. God plans for me to weep, and God plans for me to laugh. That's why I say, they then sow in tears shall reap in joy. Young people, over here. Hey, young people, listen to me. I'm preaching to you. Sit still. Listen to me. Sit still, son. Look at me. Listen carefully to me. Listen carefully. This old suicide world, dope-taking world, liquor-drinking world, trying to escape realities of life. Bless your little pea-picking heart. There's a way you don't have to escape realities of life if you will do what God said and use God's recipe to make your life as the painting, as the music, as the recipe, as the morning, afternoon, evening, and nighttime, as the spring, summer, fall, and wintertime. If you will plan these things in your life, some of you folks never think except as something decides for you what you think about. Hear me carefully. There are some things over which I have no control. And God has planned those things for me. And God has planned in my life. So don't rebel. When sadness comes, don't rebel. They're planned by God to give you the well spectrum of life. Let me illustrate. I've lived a rich life. If I can live to September, I'll be halfway through my 70s. I've lived a rich life. Here's why. I have enjoyed peace. I have not enjoyed battles, but I have enjoyed the victories that come only by battles. Do you get it? So I need battles, so I can enjoy victories. I have enjoyed laughter in my 74 plus years. I have not enjoyed tears, but I have enjoyed His presence. It comes only in a way when I am in tears. I have enjoyed success. I have not enjoyed failing, but I have enjoyed the lessons that failing has taught me. I have enjoyed happiness. I have not enjoyed sorrow, but I have enjoyed God's grace that sorrow brings. I have enjoyed winning. I have not enjoyed losing, but I have enjoyed the challenge that losing brings to get up and try again. I have enjoyed friends. I have not enjoyed enemies, but I have enjoyed the opportunities that presented to me by my enemies to love my enemies, as the Bible commanded me. I have enjoyed mountaintops. I have not enjoyed the valleys, but I have enjoyed His guidance in the valley. I have enjoyed prosperity. I have not enjoyed poverty, but I have enjoyed watching Him provide for me in times of poverty. I have enjoyed health. I have not enjoyed illness, but I have enjoyed the dependence on Him because I'm ill. As you know, I have a heart condition. Hard, cold, and so forth. But I have a heart condition. Now, I enjoy good health. I don't enjoy my heart condition. I don't enjoy it. But I do enjoy the fact that my Heavenly Father is there and the Holy Spirit is my comforter, and I enjoy the dependence I have on Him. When I walk out off the pulpit or off the pulpit on Sunday morning, go to my study, I say, thank God you helped me do it again. I enjoy that. I have enjoyed fellowship. I have not enjoyed loneliness. But I have enjoyed the reunion that is made possible by loneliness. I have enjoyed life. I have not enjoyed the death of those I love, but I have enjoyed the assurance of heaven that comes at the grave. What am I saying? I'm saying there are two divisions of my life and yours. Two sections, if you please. One section I call the circumstantial section. That section is planned by God. And you mark it down. God knows that you don't need all sunshine. And God has planned for you some shadows and some darkness and some clouds. God knows that you don't need all clouds, and so God is planned sunshine. And so, if I love Him, and I do, and I'm in His will, and I am, then that means that He, everything will work to good. But it also means, it's the old story I used to tell so often. Occasionally I tell it. When I was in Normandy Baptist Temple in Jacksonville, Florida, preaching under a big tent with Lester Roloff. Big 2,000-seat tent was put up out in the parking lot of the church. Monday night, Brother Roloff and I preached together. After service, I told Brother Lester, I said, you go into the hotel. I'm going to stay here and pray a while alone under the tent. I got the altar of the tent, the 2,000 seats empty and only one little light up in the top of the tent. I knelt to pray about 10:30 that night. I had prayed just a few minutes, and all of a sudden, what to then was an old man, old man, probably 74 years old, ought to be in a hospice. But the old man came up. He was short and skinny and white-haired, and he said, Brother Hiles, can I pray with you? I said, well, who are you? I'm a preacher. Been preaching all my life. I saw you here praying. Can I pray with you? I said, sure. Go ahead. This is the prayer he prayed, word for word. Dear God, I hate flour. I hate flour. I hate flour. Dear God, I hate bacon powder. I looked up to see if he was all right. I never learned that prayer in seminary or college. I hate bacon powder. I hate bacon powder. Dear God, I hate shortening. I hate shortening. Dear God, I hate salt. I hate salt. He kept on. I was watching by that time. A big smile came across his face, and he said, Dear God, you put them all together, the milk, buttermilk, we used to call them, buttermilk, and shortening, and flour, and salt, and put them in the oven, and cook them, and dear God, I sure do like hot biscuits. That's what God is doing. God can't make you into biscuits if every ingredient tastes good. And God can't give you a full and happy life if every ingredient tastes good. So get in His will, serve Him, and say, Dear God, go ahead and plan for me the circumstances of my life. I promise you, He'll plan some sunshine, He'll plan some clouds. He'll plan some happy times, He'll plan some sad times. But I promise you this, our Heavenly Father knows the recipe. Bill Burr said this morning, I've seen Bill Burr run around the platform hollering and shouting. I've seen him absolutely just run around the pulpit screaming and shouting, praising God. I've seen him on what he thought was his deathbed. I often say he's always, I want to go to heaven. Well, I saw one time he didn't want to go to heaven. He was at the door about to go in, and big old beads of sweat were all over. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There ought to be. Bill Burr needs to have some happy times. He also needs to have some sobering times, some serious times. Now, God plans those, and I accept them because I happen to know that God knows the recipe of my life and what it means. Now, hear me carefully. Concerning the events, my daily schedule, I likewise should plan a time. If you please, a time for every purpose, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather up stones. Look at me and I'll close. I'm a happy old man. I promise you at 910 Ridge Road, condominium 204, there's more laughter goes on than any four rooms in America. We have a time. But now, wait a minute. We don't always laugh. God wants me to have sober, serious times. If you want to be happy in 2001, you plan your schedule. Don't let circumstances determine what you do. I laugh because he made me laugh. I cry because he made me cry. God said, if you want a well-rounded life, for the circumstances, daily events of your life, you schedule them as I schedule the big circumstances of your life. Now, there's one thing it's time for you to plan to do right now. It's time for you to plan right now to go to heaven when you die. Plan it. I know people that come to church. A fellow walked down this aisle, came over here from Romania. From Romania! He and his wife walked down the aisle and got saved. You know why they came to the United States? To get saved. They heard about the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. All the people get saved here. And they flew across the ocean from Romania. Why? To get saved. Little boy walked down the center aisle one time. The little bus kid put his hand in his pocket and says, this is the getting saved place? Yes, sir, and this is the getting saved time. Now the time has come for you to say, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm on my way to hell, but I have come to the time I am planning today to get saved. I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to go to heaven. And in a moment, we stand and sing, you leave your seat, walk down these aisles, and let the man at the end of the aisle know that you are going to get saved today, a time to get saved. I wish I could beat some sense in some of you people's heads. You think that Brother Hiles is happy because of all the nice things that have happened to me. I'll tell you one thing, brother. If you've been through what I've been through, you wouldn't think they're all real nice. But I thank God for all of them. I look back at my life and I say, dear God, that time when they had the battle in Texas over the colleges and the liberal teaching and the colleges and seminaries, I hate that. And that time we came to Hammond, had to pull out the American Baptist Convention, and all the battles we had, I hate that. And that time, all the other times, but bless God, He is the one who makes the recipe. And thank God for hot biscuits after God has placed all the ingredients in life that are necessary. So as we enter into a new year, you decide this morning, you are going to live a scheduled life next year. And by the way, a few of you will get the idea that you next year are not going to be a one-dimensional person. You're going to take God's recipe, and that's what it is, God's recipe of a rich year. Plan it so that just as you, we got to go by the store sometime this holiday. Got to go by the store. I got to get some shortening. Why? Because what she's going to cook needs shortening. And if you want to cook up a good, rich life in 2001, you're going to need God's recipe. So as God has brought into your life circumstances, you accept them and say, He, the great chef of eternity, has made a recipe for my life, and I accept it that I need all that He sends. But likewise, in the minor details of my life, the events of my life, I likewise must take God's recipe. So I'll make it clear, and I'll be through. So I'll go to the cemetery regularly. Look, I have a mother's body buried out there in our mausoleum. My mother and daddy separated. Daddy left us when I was a boy. I tried to get them back together all the rest of daddy's life. When mother finally passed away, the Depper sent down to Texas and took daddy's body out of the grave in Italy, Texas, and brought that body back, and in death, my mama and daddy rest together today. I go out there. I plan to mourn. I plan to grieve. I don't want to be a giddish person all the time. not very far from the mama than daddy's body rest. Our little grandson's body rest. 5 years old. Accidentally fell out of the car. His mother ran over him and dropped backing out of the driveway, and his little body was left lifeless. I go out there. I go out there regularly, at least once a month and sometimes once a week. And I go over this, stand beside his little crib. And remember what delight he was. I planned to weep. I planned to think. I planned to meditate. I planned to laugh. I planned to cry. I planned to win. Sometimes I have to plan to lose. I plan to rejoice. I plan to mourn. Because I just don't want to die one of these days having lived a ha, 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 15, 15, rah, rah, rah. I want the painting of my life to have a variety of colors. I want the meal of my life to have a variety of tastes. I want the music of my life to have a variety of notes and a variety of beats. And that's what I want for you. Would you bow your heads, please?